I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, here we go. We have a podcast. It's called Al and Jerry. It's called the Postgame Podcast. What's up?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. So I don't know how I randomly thought of the Garth Brooks song, Friends in Low Places. You know that song?
Yeah, I do remember that song. Absolutely. Again, another Imus thing.
Oh, he was a big Friends in Low Places guy?
Yes, because there was a song parody of, what was his name? Midday guy all over the country, political guy.
Rush Limbaugh?
Yes. There was a song, I don't remember it, but I remember that's how I knew the song was from the parody. Then when I heard the song, I'm like, what is this? I only knew the parody. So, yes.
And you heard the actual song.
Yes.
I think it came up on a live version. I know what it was. Yeah. For some reason on my YouTube page, there was a version of Justin Timberlake live in Nashville, and somebody had videoed he brought Garth Brooks on stage and they did Friends in Low Places.
Oh, okay.
I was like, that is a great song, Friends in Low Places. Then I realized Garth Brooks, and he sold millions of records. He sold a ton of records in the 90s.
Used to sell out stadiums.
And the 2000s, yeah. I believe he is the last holdout for streaming.
Really?
His stuff is not on Spotify. His stuff is not on Apple Music. And when I put this, I tweeted that out the other day, and people told me that he is on Amazon Music, but
okay.
You have to...
Yeah, pay for that.
You got to pay for that. It's not... If you go to the free version that you get when you have Prime, it's not... You can't pick the songs you want to play. You can
choose,
like, I want a country playlist, or but you can't choose individual songs.
But you can't create
songs.
Your own playlist.
No, not unless you pay.
Wow.
And I was trying to think, is there anybody else that sold millions of records that is not on there? And I couldn't come up with anybody... Nor could the audience do a good job of coming up with
anybody. There might not be anybody.
I
feel like all the holdouts gave up.
Yeah, they all gave up.
Mm-hmm.
Metallica was an early holdout. Jay-Z at one point went to his own title, but I think he's back. Neil Young left, and he returned. Bob Seger was somebody who wasn't on streaming for a while.
The problem is you start to realize very quickly you become forgotten.
Right.
If your music's not available.
And I remember, I was like, wow, you know, Garth Brooks... He does have a lot of, if you like country music, he has a lot of good songs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just not on my radar anymore.
Yeah.
So then
he's invisible.
Yeah. So then I went to YouTube and I thought, okay, you know, people put up full albums on YouTube.
Yeah.
Regular YouTube. So even on YouTube, there's live recordings. But studio recordings, a lot of times for Garth Brooks, for whatever reason, if you click on it and it looks like a Garth Brooks album cover and the song, it's somebody else singing it. A studio version,
yeah.
But that's not Garth Brooks' voice.
How about that?
So strange.
Yeah, well, it's that. He's got great lawyers.
And I still have some Garth Brooks CDs, I think, somewhere.
Wow.
I might have to break those
out. Can you load those into Spotify since you own the disc?
I don't know.
Because I remember, was it Amazon when they first came out? When Amazon Music first came out, I feel like I was able to load my own stuff in.
Yeah, I know you probably could, because you definitely could do it on the iPod or the iPhone.
Okay.
Through Apple Music before they were even, because Apple Music was not a streaming.
Mm-hmm.
You had to buy individual songs, and then you
right.
could load your own songs in, too.
I wonder if you could do that.
But you and I sold all of our CDs at the same time. Because of you, I sold all my CDs. You told me about this online place.
Yes.
Do you remember?
I do.
And it was such a process to do.
I know. But you got rid of it.
But then you got rid of all your CDs.
I still have one bin left of about, I would say, 25 to 30 CDs that I won't get rid of. But that's it. There's nothing else in the house.
Yeah. I saved the CDs from, like, a couple of artists that I really like.
Exactly.
I didn't get rid of any of their CDs, even though
I loaded
them in.
Not that I know what to do with them.
Nothing.
I can't play them. I guess I can play them on a computer, on a desktop, but that's about it, really.
That's it.
Yeah,
although
wild.
I saw, like, in my car, I have a CD player in my car.
Yeah, I don't.
I feel like I feel like I'd put a CD in there now, and the CD player would be like, "You ain't getting this back."
Just going to swallow it up and spit it out the engine.
Hey, this eject button isn't still working on the CD player.
That's interesting. I do not have a CD player in my car. I don't even think, you know, it's funny, when we got my son his car, one of the things we did was we replaced the radio to give him more, because it's like a 2012, I want to say, which we got him a couple of years ago, maybe a 2013. I forget what year it is, but it's an older car. And so the one thing we did for him for his next birthday after a year of using a crappy radio was we got him a whole new system. And there's no AM on it, and I don't think there's any CD.
Yeah. That used to be a whole industry, the aftermarket radio.
Sure was.
Nowadays...
They're so good now, the new ones.
Yeah, they look like an iPad.
Some of them, yeah. I don't have that, but yeah.
But I'm saying, like, and the newer cars get, the bigger and better the display, the digital display, that at some point, even the cheaper, older cars are going to be the newer cars now.
Yeah.
So they're going to have all that. Man, if you are an audio car stereo guy, you got to be thinking, like...
Well, a couple things.
One, to an end here.
It's like my car is a 16. That's 8 years old now. I've had it for 4 years. So that's 8 years ago. And I like the interface on my car. Now, it's not as nice as the new ones, as you're saying. You're 100% right. But to me, it's still modern, and I like it. The other thing about the car stereo guys, I think they do more than just car stereos. And if you remember, about 15 or 20 years ago, there was this whole thing about don't become an auto mechanic. Or don't open up your own shop because everyone's leasing now. People are just going to bring it to the dealer, and you're going to see mom and pop garages closing down left and right. I haven't seen one close.
I haven't either.
And I will tell you, I always tell you, Phil, and it's in Hazlitt, that place is busy as hell all the time. So while sure, some people are bringing their cars into the dealer, as they always have, I don't think that business is going away, and I think they adjust, and they probably don't do as many car stereos as they used to, but they do other things. Alarms, I guess. I don't even know, but they're still open.
Yeah, they all do, because I pass one by all the time, and they do speakers. So even if you have a nice interface in your car, maybe you got crappy
speakers.
Put the
Bose speakers in.
Yeah, but like nice speakers in there. They do auto starts.
Yes, that's a big one.
Although... I think probably a lot of cars come with auto
starts. Mine does not, but you're right.
Yeah, mine doesn't either. Although I've always heard bad things about aftermarket auto starts. Like, they're tricky.
Aftermarket a lot is sometimes tough.
Yeah.
things don't quite sync up properly.
They do the alarms. They do dash cams. They'll hardwire dash cams in.
That's a good one.
Yeah, they'll hardwire in rear view cameras if you don't have one in your car. Sure. But that used to be like such a big thing. I used to I remember when I got a Honda Civic. I got a 2000 Honda Civic, and I got an aftermarket radio that got stolen twice. Twice.
Right by your apartment, right?
One at my apartment complex and one at Metro Park train station.
That sucks.
The one at Metro Park was terrible because they cut the wires.
Oh.
And the one at my apartment was so easy. They pulled the radio out and just unplugged the big vat of wire. So that was no problem.
Just get another one and replace it.
Yeah, just got another one and replace it. The other one
stinks.
And, yeah, not only did they cut the wires for my radio, it cut the air conditioning wires. Oh. It cut everything.
They really went to town on you.
Yeah, my car was gone for like months.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
But yeah, I don't know what else those guys do. Aftermarket radios.
That's one of those things too. Like, it seems, it would appear to me, at least when I used to go back in the day, because I did for a couple of car stereos, it looked like a fun business in that it looked like guys that were in their mid to late 20s, maybe three or four guys that were friends that loved working on car electronics, and there was a need for it, and that's what they did. It would be like, all kidding aside, if like me, you, and Eddie decided, you know what, enough of this, let's open up a coffee shop, just have some fun, and just whatever. There'd be no pressure other than making sure people came in, but it would just be a fun experience. Yes, you're going to have your customers that are a pain in the ass once in a while, but just like, you just pull your money together, you start something that you know is going to be okay, and just go to work every day.
Yeah.
And enjoy it.
Hey, putting in car stereos, you're blasting music.
Yeah, like they love what they do.
I know some of those old car radios, like you had to take the dashboard off to get to it.
I'm sure.
Which seems very complicated.
Well, especially when you're pulling out the factory installed ones.
Right.
That's no joke.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing.
Did you ever buy a car stereo from Crutchfield?
No. I've heard of Crutchfield, but I never have.
So Crutchfield was, they used to be a catalog, and now, of course, they're online. But
right.
They used to send you would tell them what car you had, and then they would tell you which stereos fit your car.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have to send you the kit that goes with your car. And I always felt like, I'm going to try this one time. I almost did it with that orange car I had because mm-hmm. that did not have a good stereo in it.
Especially with YouTube, you probably could do it.
Yeah. But
although I will tell you, even with YouTube, there are certain things that they make, you know, like, because it's so easy for the people doing it, not so easy.
Right.
You know, like I was going to do the headlight on my son's car. And I have no problem doing headlights. They're generally easy. I had to take the whole front facing off the car.
Right, so I mean.
I'm like, yeah, you know what?
I can't do
I'll
that.
I'll pass. No thanks. I'm like, and he made it. I just, with the guns. I'm like, I don't got that. I'm like, I know it's easy if you know what you're doing. This one's not for me.
Yeah. If you don't have one of those electric.
The air guns.
Yeah. Is that how they take off the tires really quick?
Mm-hmm. And you see it on NASCAR.
Yeah.
They're all gone.
Yeah, it really simplifies everything. Mm-hmm. I do feel like I want to change my oil again by myself.
The only thing about those, though, is if you get the wrong lug nut, you can strip the screw.
Yeah.
And that is a problem.
Yes.
That is a big problem.
That'd be a very big problem.
You should do your oil. Just be careful when you put it on a temporary lift.
Yeah.
That it doesn't, I don't know, crush you.
Yeah, I don't want to be crushed. I did find there's a oil change place by my house that is so efficient and quick. Like, I am telling you, Jerry, I am in and out of there within 8 minutes.
Get out.
8 minutes.
What's
every
the name
time.
Of the place?
It's a mobile, I don't know. This was
quick lube?
I think it's called mobile lube or something. The guys who run it are like, psh.
And do they try and push a lot of crap on you?
Nothing. They don't push anything.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I've gone many times. One time, they rolled out with air filter. I go, this air filter is looking like a disaster. But other than that, nothing.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Because they seem like they're trying to get you in and out.
Yeah.
Like, let's get you back on the road.
Which, and I will tell you, I think some of these places more people would go to if you just did what they wanted.
Yes.
And then suggested to them next time you come back. I'm just telling you. I'm not telling you now. You really should keep an eye on this. It would look like they're not trying to upsell you on stuff.
Right. Or say, hey, your air filter looks pretty terrible. You could either do it yourself. If you don't think that's something you want to do, we can do it
even
for
next
you
time
as well.
When you come back, we can do it.
Next time.
Right. But don't, the hard sell.
Yeah.
That's why I don't go to them anymore. I can't, and I know my way around a car a little bit. I told you the one time in that one place, where I won't say their name, when the guy came back and had the air filter in the car that I had just changed a week prior, and he comes out with this filthy, dirty thing. I'm like, that's interesting, because I just changed that like 4 days ago, and he turned white. I said, get me my car, please. Please. And I paid for the oil change, and I've never gone back, and I will not ever go back.
No, they're done, Jerry.
Yeah, and I'm sure they do that to, I'm sure they see housewives or moms, and they probably do that to, or just, you know, stuffy shirt guys that look like they have no idea what a dipstick is. They do that all the time.
When I go get my oil changed, what I'll do is I'll put on like a shirt with grease on it and stuff, so they think I know what I'm doing.
Overalls, too?
Yeah, overalls. I'll put overalls.
Little name tag.
Straw hat. Put some grease on my clothing to make it seem like this guy knows what he's doing. Don't try to take advantage of him.
That's pretty funny.
For some reason today, I'm getting a lot of people sent me this video going viral again for some reason. Last month, Jerry, I told you, it happened on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. I told you John Mellencamp was on stage.
Yeah.
He was telling a story.
Yes.
And somebody yelled, shut up and play music.
Yeah.
And then someone yelled, like, play Authority song. And he was like, got pissed off.
Yeah.
Well, for some reason, it's circulating again. Same video. It's got millions of views now because it's getting sent to me. And the headline says something like, Joe Biden supporting John Mellencamp wants to lecture you about Joe Biden, and gets mad when we tell him to shut up and play music. That's not what that clip is, but that's what's...
Who wrote the article then?
It's not an article. It's just some guy with a lot of followers put it out there, and it's getting retweeted and everything.
I'm telling you, man, the misinformation is just
It
awful.
Really is. I said, like, he tells the same stories at every show. And I know the story he was telling. He was actually telling the story of his grandmother passing away. And how he was laid in the bed with her. He had a close relationship with her. And when she was dying, life advice. It was not political at all. It was no pro-Biden. It wasn't pro-Trump. And then people are just killing John Mellencamp online now about it. And that's... I don't know why we're in such a weird time now where if somebody at a quiet point in a concert yells at the artist and the artist fights back, we're on the side of the a-hole that started.
Which I don't understand.
But that's I'm seeing that everywhere.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's the money. As much as we love these people as fans, we resent them. I love watching the NBA. I used to. I love watching the NFL. I don't think any of these guys are worth the money they get paid. When you're spending... Now, we're the idiots that spend the money. So it's a double-edged sword because it makes... On one hand, I think you'll understand what I'm saying, but on another hand, it makes no sense because we're still the dopes that spend the money. I told you, these concerts now, you want tickets, they're $400, $500, and people are spending it. And people feel like they have the right to say whatever the hell they want. It's the same thing with the NBA. When those people spend $2,500 a seat or more to sit courtside, they feel empowered to say whatever the hell comes to their mind. And it ain't right. And part of it is they resent the fact that these guys are making $40 million a year to play basketball or baseball or hockey. Well, not hockey. That's not true. They don't make that much. The NFL quarterbacks. And we've become, one, we've become a harsher society with social media that we hide behind. And two, when we're not hiding, we feel like we have the right to say whatever we want. Because we earned it by spending the money supporting.
Yeah, that's true.
Really, it really is a terrible. I know people have booed players forever. And maybe in the 40s and 50s, I know, and I'm not talking racial lines, that was a completely different set of circumstances and complete filth. That's different. In terms of just right now, you're talking about heckling now and why. I believe that's why. I think it's the money.
Right, because we paid the money. Now we get to say
whatever we want.
What goes.
Yeah, and you're making $40 million. Shut up and play.
Yeah.
You know, I can say what I want for my $500 ticket. You're making how much per at bat? Just look that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? They hear you.
Yeah, so I don't know why, you know, people were sending it to me. I don't know if because I like John Mellencamp, but or I've always been able to separate people's, for singers at least, their politics from their music.
I am too, until I go to a show and they include it in the show.
Yeah.
Then that turns me off.
Yeah, I will say Bruce Springsteen in the past used to do that years ago. Mm-hmm. He does not do that anymore.
Good.
He does not reference politics at all.
And to me, I would take the Michael Jordan approach.
Yeah. You know,
Democrats and Republicans both buy sneakers.
Yeah.
To me, I'd be the same way. They all buy albums. And it's not to say that you can't have an opinion, but I do think when you're doing your performance, that's not the right place to talk politics.
Right.
You want to go on Larry King back in the day and do it? Go for it. That's fine. And if one of your fans is turned off, okay, fine. But if a fan spends a couple hundred bucks to go watch you play Born in the USA, please play Born in the USA. You know, or how do you heckle people?
Play Small Town. Jack and Diane.
It's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Why people are like, they feel empowered now.
Yeah.
What else did I write down here, Jerry? For some reason, I've seen multiple videos of this, and it must be a thing, and it is very relaxing to watch. It's going to sound bizarre, Jerry.
Ocean waves.
No, that's... sounds normal.
Leaves blowing in the air.
That would also be nice. You're listening to something called Green Sounds.
Green Sounds. Right?
Green Sounds.
To go to sleep, yeah.
There are videos now of people giving their dogs a bath all over social media.
And you're watching this.
Because it's strangely relaxing. They're all doing it in the same way. The volume is turned up so that every little part of the bath is an audio experience. So I'll give you an example. So every time it's like it's a larger dog and the dog is in the shower. Then the person puts on these gloves, the scrubbing gloves with like that you can soap up the gloves. So they put the gloves on and it makes a noise. They squeeze the liquid soap. They shake their hand. Then they start scrubbing their dog. They scrub the dog's paws and the fingers, and it's... they're rubbing the dog down. They're hosing the dog off. Then at the end, they take coconut oil and rub it on the dog's fur.
So just to be clear.
Yeah.
People washing their dogs is more successful on YouTube than you were.
Correct. In the way that they're doing it. And I know they're doing it in some sort of... particular way, because I've seen numerous versions of this with different dogs.
So are you going to sleep with these sounds?
No.
You're literally watching
this. I'm just saying, as I'm scrolling, if I see it, I'm like, and then I find myself, I'm on it, and every sound is amplified, and it's somewhat relaxing, because the dog is relaxed, and the dog's getting their paws cleaned. Their belly's clean, their head's clean, their ear's clean, but it's just this, it's hard to explain.
I just had a great idea for a business.
Ooh.
Instead of pedicures.
Yeah.
Pauticures.
Auticures?
Pauticures.
Pauticures.
Grooming for dogs, but that's the name.
Pauticures.
And we franchise it.
And we only do that, or you're doing...
You can get all
sorts of grooming.
Wash your dog, but mostly we take care of their nails.
Yeah.
And make sure that they're nice and short like they should be. It's like a dog grooming place.
I just got my dog's nails cut. That's all I did.
Okay.
What do you think that cost me?
$18.
Yeah, $20.
Yeah.
$19.99.
How long did that take? 4 seconds?
Well, I did it when I went to Booming Celebration. I left the dog at the dog hotel, and they do grooming there as well. So I said, oh, can you cut her nails while she's here?
$20.
$19.99. But I don't want to do that. The dog.
I don't blame you.
You clip too far down, the dog's going to be pissed and bleed.
And you have to have that block that kind of stops the
blood.
Yes. Yes, I know. Because with the cats, we have to cut their nails too. Luckily, we've never cut them too short.
Yeah.
but it's dangerous.
You use a Dremel to grind them down, or you cut them with the cutter?
No, Kim uses a cutter.
Cutter.
Yeah.
Do your cats have clear colored? Because if your dog or cat has clear colored nails, you can sometimes...
You can see the line.
Yeah.
Yes.
The quick, they call it. But my dog's got dark nails. I can't see anything.
Dude, someone's got this already.
What's it called? They hear
I just came
name?
Up with it as we're sitting here. Pawdicure. Instead of a pedicure?
Everything's taken already.
Pawdicure is... Wow, look at that. Yeah, pawdicure.com. Mobile nail trims.
For dogs.
Mm-hmm. Damn. I thought I had such a good idea.
I did too, Jerry. I thought we were going to be franchising our faces off all around the country cutting dog nails.
That would have been fun. Well, we're not.
I wonder how often when you, if you're somebody who does dog pedicures, that the dog wants to bite you.
I think it depends on the dog.
Yeah, I wonder, does my dog attempt to bite these people?
Do they muzzle the dog to make sure they don't?
Oh, maybe.
You don't know how they do it.
Right.
As long as the dog's happy and good when you pick her up, you probably don't even think much of it.
Yeah.
You know? That's interesting. I don't know. I've never watched, when we had dogs, I never watched them get groomed.
Yeah.
So I don't, we always dropped them off and picked them up when they were done.
I had to watch my dog get, the vet put her finger in my dog's butt. That was weird.
Were you aroused?
No.
By the way, you have a nice quiet room. I need 5 minutes.
Who's not, Jerry?
How much do you think, if me, you, and Eddie pulled our money together, how much could we start a coffee shop for?
I don't know. What would it cost to start a coffee shop?
I have no idea. That's why I asked you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you don't own the building, probably.
No, so you got to lease a space.
You got to lease some space.
You got to buy space.
I know coffee equipment, to get really good coffee equipment is could run you some thousands of dollars.
Well, I would think so.
Right? You got to get a real refrigerator in
there. Here would be my question. Could you open up a coffee shop? And it's got, I don't mean a 4-foot space where you're just serving coffee to go. I mean,
no.
A coffee shop that's got
tables, a relaxing place to sit.
Let's say
cool t-shirts.
8 tables.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy, but 8 tables, maybe a little space for a small stage. And I mean small. I mean a guy playing a guitar. I don't mean a 6-piece band. And a big enough space to where you're making the coffee constantly and a couple of people can be back there comfortably. So I would say if you did something like that space-wise in a strip mall, you're probably talking $25 a square foot. Let's say you wanted, did you do that for 1,000 square feet, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah? So that's $25,000 a year in lease, which bangs out to about $2,000 a month. That's it.
Okay.
You'd have to give them a couple of months up front, so you'd have to dish out $4,000. You got to build it out. Let's say $10,000 for a build-out, and then that's $14,000. And then the equipment and the coffee to get started. I actually think you could get started for $30,000. Now, someone might email you or DM you and say, hey, idiot face. It's I didn't say Dunkin' Donuts or a Starbucks. I'm saying
your own place.
Yeah. Like Phoebe Piper and Prue had P3 back in the day. They had a bar.
Who are those people?
From what the hell's my show? With Alyssa Milano and Shannon Doherty. Charmed.
Oh, Charmed.
So we could be like, you know. We could call, I don't know what we call ourselves.
The male version of Charmed.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
You know, it's so funny. Like, my brain immediately went to, what if we do this and there's a coffee shortage? Then what?
And then what happens?
I always worst case scenario panic everything.
I don't know that we're in danger of a coffee shortage.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of warm places in the world. It just might get very expensive if there was a problem somewhere. I think we'd be okay with that. I actually think that's
okay.
Fine. So I wouldn't be too concerned, but I would say I would venture to guess less than $50,000 to get started. Total.
I would think that's correct.
Right?
Yeah. We do Undercutter's Coffee. Just whatever coffees in our neighborhood.
Coffees are crazy now.
Do it for cheaper.
I mean, coffee costs, no joke. I mean, even Dunkin' Donuts, their medium cup of coffee, which forever was, I think, one where I used to buy it, I think it's up to like $2.70 a cup. That's it, just a cup of coffee. You want the other stuff, it's like $5.
What's weird is how iced coffee is so much more than regular coffee.
It's so much less coffee.
Yeah.
You're paying for ice.
Yes.
I know.
That's got to be a storage situation, right? Where they're making the coffee, they have to make it in advance, then make it cold.
I don't think it is. I think it's just a brilliant way to where they're giving you the larger cup, so it looks like more. It's clearly less. They load it with, it is iced coffee.
Jammed up with ice.
And I don't think it's a storage anything. You always have ice on hand. You're always making ice. So I don't think that's an issue. I think it's more, we can charge more for what looks like more, and yet they're making more. It really is. Kim and I talk about that all the time. Like, this is a brilliant concept.
And then if you sell the iced coffee that's nitro, but that has like that,
yep.
Looks like it's a beer on tap, yep. But it's coffee, that's even more than regular iced coffee.
And then you could go up there and play piano every Friday night.
Do-do-do-do. Of course, I'd have to... Really,
Friday nights with Dukes.
Really figure out how to actually play the piano, not just bang away on it.
Oh.
Boing, 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 boing.
Well, fair enough. Maybe you don't want boing, to do Friday boing, nights
boing.
Yet.
No, yeah,
we'll,
no, Jerry,
we'll present this to Eddie tomorrow.
All right, Jerry. Let's do the warm-up program. We did that with... you and I did that this morning. And then tomorrow is Wednesday. We'll be back for another warm-up show starting tomorrow at 5 a.m. Until then, see ya!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Mike Piazza has now hit more home runs than any catcher in the history of Major League Baseball.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
All right, the Eddie Scazzeri, you are high, far, but not gone yet. Two more years, don't go anytime sooner than that. And across from me, 5 years to go. For this guy, his name's Al. What's up?
Oh, hi, Jerry. Everything happened so fast yesterday.
Quick.
I mean, I would love to know the thought process behind all this, because first there were things like, John Sterling's going to retire. He's having a press conference Friday.
Yeah.
First it was, John Sterling's holding a press conference Friday. Then it was John Sterling's holding a press conference Friday to retire. Then it was John Sterling's retired right now.
Yeah. And we'll celebrate him Saturday.
It went so fast.
Yeah, the whole thing was nuts because when I got home, this was not a thing yet. And then when I got in the car around right after baseball practice, I'm listening to John Sterling with Evan and Tiki. And I'm like, why are they talking about the past? And then all of a sudden I heard him say, I'm very happy. I don't want to do the drive anymore. At one point he referenced the commute is why he does it. Like he said, he loves being in the stadium, loves doing the games. But it has finally gotten to him, Al.
It's finally beating him down. I mean,
yeah, that's what it sounds like.
An accomplishment on its own. Like, to me, Jerry, like the three of us here, we commute into New York City. That's enough. That's an accomplishment in and of itself. John Sterling went to the Bronx 81 times a year for decades.
Yes.
Three and a half decades. And he's still alive from it. He wasn't murdered. He wasn't held up at gunpoint, as far as I know, ever.
Think about how many flights.
Yeah, it's too much.
It's a lot.
I really truly don't understand a number of things on this thing. One, he appeared to really enjoy being away from baseball.
Yeah, he said he's just happy. He just wants to watch the games, doesn't want to deal with it anymore.
Right, so why'd you wait so long? You're 80. He's going to be 86.
He's on July 4th. That is correct.
It's enough.
Yeah, well, I think it's the finality of it. I do think it's very difficult to say goodbye. I mean, it's like that part of your life is now over, and I think it's a tough thing for a lot of people to do. I really do. I don't think retirement's easy for a lot of people.
It seems easy to him, is what I'm saying. It seems like he's like, yeah, I had a great time in retirement. I mean, I had a great time in the off season. I can't wait to not do these games anymore.
Well,
so I don't know why
he didn't prolong it. And he said that Olivero gave him the option just to do home games. He's like, I'm good. And I'm surprised, because of the way this team is built and the expectations, that he didn't say, I'll do the home games. And I actually, when I was listening to it, because again, I got to it a couple minutes late, so I didn't know what the hell was going on. I actually thought when he said, I got a great boss, he offered me just the home games. I'm like, oh, okay, he's going to do the home games and then retire at the end of the season, but at least be there for the run. And then when I heard him say, I'm ready just to be home and watch baseball. I can't go to the stadium anymore. It's too much. I'm like, wow, he's done. So he came to the conclusion. You know, his health has not been great the last couple of years. So maybe it's been eye-opening for
him. Did he have a car service to the games, or he was driving himself?
I have no idea.
86-year-old man cruising through the Bronx? That sounds insane.
Well, I think he drove because Ricky Ricardo saved him in the flood, remember?
Right. So Good point, Jerry.
Yeah, I think he was still driving.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I wonder why he didn't, at the beginning of the season, when the season was about to start up and he enjoyed his off time, as he said he did, why he didn't just say, you know what? I don't know if that's starting. Why start the season? The season's 2 weeks old.
I think that's a question if you put him on or if you have him on, I think you could ask him. But I would say, and we just said this too last week, he's 85 and he, remember the, I wonder if I still have it because this call to me, I said to you the morning we did the show, I couldn't believe how good he sounded when they beat the Diamondbacks. Remember that Sunday they beat the Diamondbacks to wrap up the series? His energy in that call was like a man that he sounded like he was 50 again. And so I don't know. I can't answer that question. He'd have to answer that for you. I don't know.
Well, maybe Evan and Tiki asked them. I'll have to go back and listen.
They might have. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Man, it would be nice to get the final goodbye tour where you go and all the opposing broadcasters would have to bring you gifts.
I guess. Vin Scully, you know what? You're right. Vin Scully got that. That is true.
John Sterling's been there 100 years. They'd be getting cool gifts.
It was amazing. And we know this, but when you hear it again, it's amazing to think he was the Atlanta Hawks announcer.
Yeah.
He was the Islanders announcer, the Nets announcer. We just think of him as the Yankee guy for the last 35 years. Really, when you did sports talk before sports talk was a full-time thing. It's really wild, actually, the career he's had.
Yes, it is, Jerry. 86. I think, you know how I feel about old broadcasters.
Yeah, no, I understand.
You got to get out.
I love the charm of it. You don't. That's fine.
Well, it's not that I don't love the charm of it. It's okay to be a broadcaster for a generation, but for multiple generations.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's great.
So children grew up wanting to be the play-by-play announcer of the Yankees. They're now.
It's called a special job. You don't get everything you want. I think the Rolling Stones sang about that once.
You don't always get what you want.
Can't always get what you want.
But I don't know.
I want to be the Cowboys announcer. Guess what? Not happening. I've had to accept that.
Yeah, but it's come open.
No, it hasn't. Brad Sham's been there for 40 years.
Okay, yeah, Brad Sham is a perfect example. Come on.
Yeah.
Move aside a little bit.
There is. As a baseball fan, I'm not going to say you're not, you are, but as a baseball fan more than you, and this is not a knock against Justin Shackle or Emmanuel Babari or Pat McCarthy or who's the other, or Keith Radd, when it's not Howie and when it's not John, doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't have the same charm. It doesn't. Now, we'll grow to have that, I think, as they do more and more games. But when I turn a Yankee game on and it's not John, sounds weird to me. It just sounds like I'm listening to a random baseball game.
Yeah. So I guess Susan will continue doing...
Susan sounds great.
Her stuff.
I don't know how old she is, but, I mean, she's been around a long time, too. She sounds... very energized this season. I think she's been fantastic. So I wouldn't go anywhere if I was her.
Susan is 77, so she's really young. She's got nine more years in the broadcast booth. My Lord.
She's really young.
Guys, enjoy life.
They are, though.
You're
this
not.
Is their, this is their life.
It I
is.
Disagree. There's some, no way anybody in some, the Bronx is enjoying their life.
Some, well, that's a different
story. I don't believe that for one
that's
second.
That's a different story. You can't tell me, though, when she goes to Boston or when she goes to Toronto for a big game in October or September that she's not loving that. It is fun. I know it's hard for you to understand. It
is
fun,
very
though.
Hard for me to understand.
I know that. It is an absolute blast. My like, gosh. As someone that does it,
yeah.
There is, like, I got into this business. We clearly got into the business for different reasons. You like the whole, whether it's just regular talk or sport, whatever. You got into it for radio. I got into this business because I wanted to do games from the time I was a kid. So whenever I get a chance to go do a game, as much as I love this, like, that's it. You're there because as a kid, I loved watching. I still like watching. I know everybody at this radio station hates sports now. I understand that. I don't. I actually still like the games. I still watch the games. I still enjoy the games, and I love calling the games. We have different interests. That's all.
You think people that work here hate sports?
It seems to be the narrative. It's this assault on sports. Sports suck. Okay, well, then go listen to ABC. I don't know what to tell you.
I think Evan loves sports. I think Boomer likes sports.
You know what? I question Evan these days, too.
Really?
Because they do some weird things.
What
you know
you
who
mean?
I know loves sports? BT and Sal.
They do love sports.
They love sports.
I'm going to say Boomer loves sports.
I would agree with that. That's fair.
I thought Evan did, but you're telling me.
I have no idea anymore.
You know what? You know sometimes like you don't want your, when your kids are teenagers and they hang around with the wrong group.
Oh, yeah.
They then take on those personalities.
Yes, of course.
Teenager Evan hung around
Craig.
Yeah. He's now Craig.
He's trying to be, right.
Yeah, he's now doing like a Craig impression. It's it's weird.
Yeah. I turned on McMonagle this morning. 9 minutes. I'm listening to him talk to Marco about Clue. All right, got to go. Like, come on. But for me, it still means something.
This feels like a speech from like Field of Dreams. Like, breathe the air of... Grab third base. That's what Moonlight Graham said. When I just to go around, wink at the pitcher just to let him know you know something.
I look at you.
Sports. Well, I'm very excited to see who gets. You know what's? And here's the thing that stinks, though, that it's so early in the season that this happened is we're just going to get a hodgepodge of dudes coming in and out of the.
That's
booth.
Really interesting to me, though. Would you not have thought that automatically Justin Shackle's not the guy and Emmanuel's the backup? You think there's, I don't know this. You think there's going to be a search now?
I heard Stugatz is getting it. If he wants it, but he may turn it down.
He's been offered the job already.
He has been offered. Yeah.
That's
so
funny.
We don't know. He still wants to do a podcast or something with Dan Le Batard.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
I just
know.
Kind That's of assumed good... Justin Shackle would be the guy.
By the way, what do you think Justin Shackle's day was like yesterday? Zippity doo da, zippity day. Good morning, everyone. He's going around tipping people.
Walking around with an erection.
Yeah. Aroused, going to the dry cleaner. $10 for you. Goes to get a coffee, throws a couple extra bucks into the tip thing.
You're not kidding. I will tell you, when the tryouts to be John's backup started last summer or 2 summers ago, whenever that was, I figured whoever got that job, for real, would be in line to be the next guy. But I really thought we were, I don't want to say several, but I thought we were a good few years away. I didn't think it'd be this quick. And I certainly didn't think it'd be in April of a season. So for him, things have changed very quickly. And I would think he's the guy, but maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe there's tryouts again. Who knows?
I did see this. Like, I legitimately got a few messages from Twitter people that said, Al, is it a coincidence that the day Ryan Hurley gets hired,
oh God,
John Sterling retires?
Yeah, Ryan Hurley walked in and fired John Sterling. You morons.
That's what I heard, Jerry.
What a bunch of idiots. Oh, my God.
I actually
God.
Enjoy it. I go, yes, that God. You've nailed it perfectly.
Good God. Right. Bob Papa is getting fired today.
Yeah, we're going to. He's out next.
Oh, man.
Ryan Hurley's just clearing house.
Susan, pack your bags.
Do you think Susan feels a little weird. She's losing her longtime partner. That's got to feel strange.
I think because John has taken games off over the last year or so, it's kind of, I think, eases it a little bit. But yes, I'll tell you, listening to Michael Kay last night during the game in Toronto, so he told the story that, and again, I got to the John interview a little late, so I might have missed this part if it was brought up. But Michael Kay, during the broadcast last night on Yes, was telling the story how John called him on Saturday and told him, hey, I've called my last game. And Kay said, whoa, slow down. Why? No, think about this. And John said, no, it's time. It's time. I've called my last game. And he even said, like, he was incredibly sad about it. Like, you get, because it's over. Like, the chapter's, that's it. It's done. So I would think there's part of that for Susan. Yes. It has to be.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Like, no joke. And no, all kidding aside, when Eddie walks out of here in 2 years, it's going to be freaking weird. It's like, that's a long run.
Yes.
And then that's it. No more Eddie. That's going to be strange. And I know it's 5 years from now, but when you walk out, or when Boomer walks out of here, like, that's the, when Craig didn't willingly walk out of here, There's a depression that's attached to it.
Yeah.
There's a finality to it. It stinks.
Now she's going to be around all these young punks, though, Susan.
She's been, though. Oh, you mean in the booth only.
In the booth, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But as long as she's enjoying it, she still sounds great, I'm sure she'll be fine.
This is really throwing off the Yankee season for me.
If there's tryouts, what about me and you doing a game?
I'd have to go to the Bronx.
I'll drive.
I don't know.
You would drive? I'll drive. Did I not drive you to the stupid ferry the other
you
day?
You did. You did drive me to the ferry.
Did I not drive in every day for 5 years with you?
You did, yeah.
All right, I'll drive.
You'll drive to the Bronx?
Yeah. I do have a pretty good play-by-play resume.
You do.
You have zero experience?
I don't have any.
As an analyst?
Yeah.
But perhaps a warm-up show night.
At the stadium, in the Bronx.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
That would be cool, Jerry.
And if anything happened, think of it this way, too. If anything did happen to us, you can call Michael Amazoff.
Michael the Bull?
That's right.
You mean if something happens on my way to the Bronx?
You can call Michael the Bull.
You got it, Jerry. I will do that.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It happened on one of them zippity-doo-dah days. Now, that's the kind of day when you can't open your mouth without a song jump right.
Oh, yeah, Jerry. This is Justin Shackle today.
Zippity-dah. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day.
He's in Toronto doing this.
He's kicking his heels together, Justin Shackle.
I would think so. Now, he doesn't have a job yet, apparently. Well, that's what you just told me. I said I just assumed it was his, but maybe not. I don't know. I have no idea. It's the
truth. I got to say, I remember Zippity Doodah sounding more fun and happy than this song.
Well, maybe this is the original.
Original. This is classic original from the Disney soundtrack, Jerry.
Okay, I don't know.
Zippity. I want a happier Zippity Doodah.
Coming up for you, maybe 7:30. I got to edit them all. We're going to play a little John Sterling game.
Oh, okay. What's that?
Do you remember the call? Now, I'm not going to give you a Jason Giambi home run. Everybody remembers the Giambino. And even like Tino Martinez, the band Tino. Those are easy ones.
All right.
I've recorded about 25 older calls.
Ooh,
I'm not going to play them all. Well, no, but some of those are Tino and Giambi, Jeter with El Capitan. I'm not playing those. But there are probably 7 or 8 that might make you think to see if you remember them.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you guys the player, you're going to give me what you think the call was.
All right. I like it, Jerry.
I have to edit them first. So that'll be 7:30 at the earliest.
So right now, Justin Shackle, he is a full-time employee?
I believe so. I think he does pregame and postgame, and he's John's fill-in. Now, and he's done a ton of games because John hasn't done a lot.
What's Emmanuel Babari do for a living?
He backs up Justin Shackle.
Well, that's not a full-time job, though.
I didn't say it was. I don't know.
Like, is he going to a regular job? And then he's like, oh, by the way, you know the guy in the cubicle over there? He does the Yankee games. That's weird, too.
I don't know.
We got to get him full-time, Jerry.
Well, he might be now.
Zippity-doo-dah. Oh, I see what you're saying. If Justin Shackle moves over, maybe Emmanuel Babari moves over.
I would think so.
Oh, man, everyone's having a zippity-doo-dah day today.
Yeah, it's a very exciting day. 100%.
Unless...
Just like when Eddie announced he's retiring in 2 years, there are people around here very excited to think they're going to have a chance to take over and be full-time in the morning. That's a zippity-doo-dah day in a couple years.
You know what? I might just do what Eddie does and take his salary, tack it on the mine.
Do both?
Yeah. Just do both.
Well, you were wondering the other day what you do anyway on a daily basis, so why not?
I just got to do a couple training sessions with Eddie.
You, if anybody, know my mind.
I do.
And the show.
Problem is, he's got 50,000 audio drops.
I know that.
Yeah, but a couple of times a week, I'll take a suggestion from you.
That's true.
Which people don't know.
How about that?
Zippity-doo-dah.
Because we think... alike after all these years.
Yes. You know what we should do then? One day, because clearly I have sat in the host chair, you should sit in Eddie's chair.
Well, I don't think that would go very well the first couple days.
Swap the responsibility day.
And there would be terrible phone calls.
I like that, though. I think that's fun sometimes when you get a horrible phone call once in a while.
Well, all of them are horrible.
It's okay.
It's just a matter of whether they're really horrible.
We could deal with it for one day.
Yeah.
Plus the drops, if they don't make sense sometimes, it'd be like Zoo when he's dropping a clip at the wrong time.
Give it a try. Oh, I'm so excited. I love you know how I love like sports media related things?
I know,
like this is exciting to me. I have a feeling though, and I don't know nothing. I don't know diddly poo. I have a feeling we're going to get a hodgepodge of things this summer.
You think more news?
No, I think like.
Or tryouts.
I don't think Justin Shackle is going to do 150 games.
Oh, zippity do know what?
Zippity doo da.
We have to look forward to whoever the low bidder is.
Zippity day. Well, Emmanuel will get some shots, I'm sure.
Well, hold on a second.
I'm throwing my hat into the ring.
What shots does he need? He's done 20 games already.
Yeah, I feel like I need a longer.
So you want to make this a tryout tour this summer?
Yes, I do.
Well, then I want to try out.
All right. You're on the list.
At the very least, I want to try out for pregame and postgame. Let's go.
Okay.
This is what I do.
I'll put you on the list, Jerry.
You're going to put me on the list?
Yeah.
You got the list.
I haven't told management, but I would like to take over.
I've officially thrown my name into the ring for consideration.
Everybody should.
Everybody's name is in the ring.
Yes. I've got, let's see. I've got 18 years of play-by-play experience.
I do want people to come to me directly, though. So is this you coming to me, Jerry?
Yes, I'm going to you directly. I would like an opportunity.
You got it, Jerry. I'll put your name in the list. I'm making an Excel spreadsheet.
I want to be Emmanuel Babari's backup now.
Okay.
I want to do pregame and postgame and just fill in from time to time when everybody's sick.
Perfect.
There you go.
All right. You're the backup to the backup.
I love it. But I'm not doing goofy home run calls. I don't do that.
No, we can't do that.
I don't do that. I'll tell you, very cool, actually, if I have it here. Yeah, that's probably not lined
up. What does Justin Shackle do when there's a home run?
He just calls it straight. I think he does a very good job, to be quite honest. Nothing goofy, nothing stupid.
Yeah.
I like the way he does it. I can't find it. God darn it, this system. Anyhow, Wayne Randazzo did an ode to John Sterling last night.
Oh, he did a home run call?
Oh, yeah, here we go. I'll play this at 6:30 for Boomer and Geo.
There's a long fly ball. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Mike Trout, a two-run homer.
So you got the high, far, and gone.
He didn't do a Mike Trouting around the bases.
No.
he
did not. But he gave you that. That's kind of cool.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
That's a nice little tribute.
Cool. Yep.
I was on the social media, Jerry, and I saw Adam Gase was trending. Adam Gase, former Jet.
Isn't he coaching high school football somewhere?
I believe you're correct. But I was like, why is Adam Gase trending on social media?
He going to send you his tryout?
No, he did not throw his hat into the ring. But I clicked on it. It was because Daniel Jones met the media yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he had giant bulging eyeballs. And people were like,
Daniel Jones did.
People are like, this is Adam Gase energy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so it's a lot. Like, if you click on Daniel Jones or Adam Gase, why do people bulge their eyeballs out when they go to press conferences sometimes?
I didn't know we do this on purpose.
I don't know. His eyeballs were bulging out, though.
Uh-oh.
Maybe he needs glasses.
Let's see.
I have glasses.
Daniel Jones, here's the headline, made some amazing faces during press conference. Here's another one. Crazy-eyed Daniel Jones drawing questions. Eddie, can you pull my fader down real quick? I just want to see if the video rolls what this looks like.
He's got Adam Gase's eyes.
Apparently so. I mean, if that's the headline, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, I watched a bunch of the videos. His eyes were popping out of his head.
Oh, yeah, look at this. Yeah, it's almost as if, what is he doing?
I don't know what emotion it is that gets your eyeballs to bulge out of your head.
He almost looks, and I don't know if he's got this or not, but in one instance here, he almost looks cross-eyed.
Yeah, it's a very strange.
I've never noticed that with him before, unless he's making a point. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
Wow, look at that one. He is popping those eyes out of his head. Now, in fairness, I'm watching this. This is not Adam Gase-like. He's not following the mysterious insects above him.
That's true.
He's just glaring at the reporter, it looks like.
Remember in a cartoon when a cartoon character would see a beautiful woman?
Yes, and their eyes popped out of their head?
Their eyes would pop out, and then their mouth would hit the floor.
Yes, with a tongue.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It could have even been like a cartoon rabbit or something like
that. Yeah.
Just a sexy cartoon, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And their eyes would bulge out and their tongue would fall out of their heads.
Yes. I would imagine, not that happens to you, but you would have those instances when you're peeking in on the beach in the summer.
Yeah, my telescope. Yeah, my eyeballs bulge out and my tongue hits the floor. Vikings tight end TJ Hockenson, Jerry. He wants the league to look at low hits against offensive players.
Well, I mean, listen, they should put flags on them then. I don't know what in the hell we're doing.
Jerry, I thought that's the last place we're allowed to hit people is down low.
No, you're allowed to hit them basically between the chest and the belly button.
Chest and belly button, that small
really
window?
It's
like
amazing.
It's like a small strike zone.
It is. I don't know how a defensive player with the speed of the game can literally hone in on these specific areas.
Yeah, and if you have to catch a person from behind, they're going to call that a hip drop tackle.
If you grab them and drop them.
Yeah.
As opposed to just tackle them. Yeah, that's out too.
If I try to hit you in the chest area that you're talking about and I accidentally hit your shoulder and it accidentally then touches your helmet, that's a headshot.
Mm-hmm.
Defenseless receiver,
you can't
gosh.
Hit a guy that's going up to make a catch. You're supposed to, I guess, let him just catch it and run. I don't know, man.
Very strange.
I know they're trying to cut down on injuries. I understand it, but it's also the game you signed up to play.
I think the low hits do seem more dangerous than drilling somebody up top, but they've left.
I think they're all dangerous. Honestly, yeah. Al. Think about how many times you have seen a safety come up and put his shoulder into a guy's knees, basically, to cut him down. And you
right.
think, oh, my God, he might have snapped his leg. The guy pops right up.
Right up,
and
right.
runs the ball, gets the next carry. We've seen guys take shots over the middle where you think they were blasted in the next week.
Yeah.
They pop right up. It's all dangerous, and there's a risk on every single play that these guys are taking. I don't know what a defensive player is supposed to do now. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, if I was like, knowing my size, Jerry, I probably would only be able to be like a thin cornerback.
A kicker, really.
Or a kicker, probably a kicker. Mm-hmm. But let's say I had to play defense and I was a cornerback and I had a guy coming at me that I had my responsibility to tackle. I have to go for the shin knee area.
Well, that's what a lot of guys do, which is why you see a lot of tight ends specifically, but you see a lot of players jumping over them because they put their head down and they just like dive at the legs. So you jump over them, you keep running.
Like if I had to tackle Tiki Barber running down the hallway here, I'd have to go for his knees.
That would be amazing.
Because if I went towards his thigh, hitting me,
oh my gosh. He would just run right over you.
Oh, yeah, he would truck me, no problem.
His thighs are still so incredibly thick, it's ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying. I can't go for the thigh. It's too high up.
You'd have to go for the ankles.
Yeah,
and
go for the ankles.
Ankle, knee to ankle.
Yeah, that's all I would have.
Yeah.
And even still, I'm going to get hit with his shin, which is a shin bone is very strong.
That is very true. Well, you have pads on.
Yeah, it's true.
You would have pads on. Yeah. But that's why a lot of cornerbacks, as they say, make business decisions.
Yeah.
They don't want to take the contact. They don't want the violent nature of the tackle.
They don't want that smoke, that Sal might say.
No, they just want to intercept passes.
Yes.
You know, and they're bad tacklers in a lot of cases.
I would either go for interceptions or just try to shove a guy out of bounds. Hold him up for someone else to come tackle him.
Dukes! I was going for the pick, coach. Sorry.
Sorry, man. Or you know what I would do, and you see this a lot in the NFL, they go for the strip.
Oh, all the time, yes.
I hate that when like a guy...
How about when the guy keeps running through them as they're still trying to knock the ball out and the guy gets another 9 yards?
Right. All they're doing is going for the strip.
It's true. Trying to punch the ball out.
Yeah.
Tackle the guy. You're killing me.
Tackle the guy, Jerry.
Oh, too funny. I know. Hmm. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we got a whole lot more to do.
Sure.
Al's Mets fan. Mets won again last night.
That's right, Jerry.
Guess who's 500?
The Mets.
That's exactly right. So that's good. The Yankees did lose last night. I got three guys that went 0 for 11. I want to see if you can guess them on the other side.
Three Yankees?
Yes.
All right.
Combined, 0 for 11. See if you can guess them on the other side. And then whatever else he's got on that show sheet, who the hell knows? Boomer and Geo at 6 on the Fan. Ironic you play this, because I literally just put this on my on Spotify. I didn't realize I didn't have it, which I thought was weird. No, it is a very good song. Real quick, before I ask you the question about the Yankees, we were talking before about, you know, all these kids growing up and they don't get to do what they want to do, and I've clearly accepted the fact that I'll never be the Cowboys play-by-play man. I guess you never know, but likely not. Was there ever something, like when you set out to do radio, which I know your parents didn't love the idea, or your dad didn't love the idea, but supported it once you got into it. Was there something that you really wanted to do that, as you look back now, didn't do?
No.
So you're fully accomplished?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Well, just quit now then.
Can't quit now. My 401k isn't where it needs to be, Jerry.
I'm just kidding. All right, so that's good to hear.
You know, when I get around retirement age, you know the stock market's just going to crash, and I'm going to be like...
Yeah, but it'll come back. You know that. You do know that at this point. You've seen it go up, down, up, down, up, down. So you working with Howard Stern was never a goal of yours or a dream?
No, that seemed too impossible of a dream.
Oh, so you didn't really dream big.
No, I didn't dream big. I dreamed to I was like, if I could just kind of do that.
Like JDM, you were happy.
Yeah, I was good. Yeah, I was good. I thought it was cool when I got to work at 92.3.
Sure.
When Howard Stern was still there in the morning. That was cool, though it was brief.
And I felt the same way when I got to FAN and Imus was still there and Mike and the Mad Dog. I completely agree with that.
But
there were still things I wanted to do that I wasn't saying, that's too big.
Yeah. Oh, no. To me, I was like, I wouldn't even imagine. Like, I didn't even think to apply for an internship at the Howard Stern Show. Like that,
really?
I was like, that sounds dangerous. How am I going to get into the city?
That's just, that's something I thought you would have applied for.
Yeah, no, I would have been too. That and, like, I loved David Letterman when he was on NBC. Yeah, yeah. Both of those things were so far advanced that I was like, that's too much.
That's interesting. Okay.
I had very realistic dreams, Jerry.
I guess, but you didn't exactly shoot for the stars.
I didn't.
I don't even know. You settled for the first cloud you hit.
I'll take it.
Any higher.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, as long as I didn't have to have like a office job, I was good.
Well, I do agree with that.
Yeah.
The fact that you can make a living out of doing nonsense is actually a lot of fun. Real quick, if I asked you right now, three Yankees in succession.
Oh, in order?
In succession.
Okay.
Were a combined 0 for 11 last night.
I'll take Judge.
He is one of them.
I'm going to take Rizzo.
He is one of them as well.
Oh, man.
Look at you.
I'm going to go Stanton.
No, Soto.
Oh, man, I was going to say Soto.
Soto, I don't think Stanton was in the lineup last night. I got to check. But Soto, 0 for 3 with a walk. Judge, 0 for 4. Rizzo, 0 for 4. That's your 2-3-4 hitters,
yeah.
0 for 11 last night.
I saw a video yesterday from Sal Licata screaming about Juan Soto continuing to take walks.
Oh, take walks.
Especially since he made a good point. Aaron Judge isn't exactly tearing it up right now.
He's not.
So you're going to take a walk so they could get to Aaron Judge?
Now, we talked about this last week. his premise I don't disagree with, but I thought last week he was wrong. It wasn't just looking at the, because it wasn't just looking at the pitch chart. I went back and watched the at-bat he was talking about. There was, out of the eight pitches he saw, or seven pitches, whatever, there was one pitch
yeah.
that I would have wanted him to swing at. The other ones were where you were chasing crap, balls way out of the zone. So I understand what he was doing, but I disagree in that at-bat in that spot. It wasn't like he looked at fastballs down the middle on, you know, 1-0 and 2-0, and all of a sudden it's 2-2 when he's hoping to walk. Like, there was nothing to hit in that at-bat. So I get it, but I think he was wrong in that scenario.
Okay. Well, he was yelling about it because it happened in the game Sunday. He was not happy.
Yeah, no, I understand. I get it.
Jerry, we have a man from Ethiopia won the Boston Marathon yesterday. I didn't realize yesterday was what they call Patriots Day in Boston.
The Red Sox played at 11 a.m.
Yeah, they did like a Red Sox game. Gronk was out there throwing out the first pitch. Two dudes on the Red Sox.
Kissed?
No. They smacked heads in the outfield.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
Dudes were bleeding.
Wow. Not good.
Yeah, not good.
Not good.
Bleeding dudes. But this person's name, Cisse Lema of Ethiopia, won the Boston Marathon. Jerry, check this out. Finished in 2 hours and 6 minutes.
And now, is that a 26-mile marathon?
26 miles.
Yeah, that's pretty fast. Did you ever see the piece? There was a piece done on, I think it was CBS this morning, like their Sunday morning show. I think it was CBS, where one of the correspondents or reporters or hosts, whatever, went out and ran with one of the racers, and he was a champion. I forget what his name was, and sadly, he passed away very young, like just last year.
The reporter did, or the racer?
No, the runner. I think he was in a car accident not that long after they did this whole thing, and he was, I think he won twice. He couldn't keep up with him after like 15 seconds because the pace, and this guy runs, but the pace was so fast that he just gave up. Like, I can't keep up with that. That's how trained they are and how fast they run. And he said long strides that really cut down on them. Really wild, actually.
I don't understand how someone can run a marathon.
Me neither. Well, your girlfriend did it.
She did do it one time. Yeah, but, and it's the people of Kenya, Jerry, the people of Ethiopia, they are long distance runners. I don't know how they train.
So this guy in particular, yeah. I know he was from Africa. I don't remember where, but he was from Africa. They went to his hometown, and he would show how instead of going to work, he would get extra work done in the morning. He would go run in the afternoon and then go back and finish. So he would like split his shift, still got his work done, but he would just run. I'm not saying it's like Forrest Gump, but remember Forrest just started running and
just kept
running?
Going.
This guy said he would just start running. He'd just go. And he would go as long as he could and whatever. Then he would stop, go back to work, and that's how he trained.
My theory on marathon runners is you have something crazy going on in your life, and in order to combat that, you run.
So thousands of people have crazy things going on in their lives. Are they also tatted up? Because that's another theory you have.
Tatted up?
It's a very good thing that you don't stereotype anybody. or put anybody in a box over here.
And if you do an Ironman,
how about a guy who's tatted up that runs the marathon?
The only thing worse is Ironman. If you ever going to be an Ironman,
dude, that is
something severe happened.
That
to
is
you.
Some accomplishment, though.
Ironman.
Oh my God, that's not human.
No, the Ironman, you finish up with the marathon.
I know. After you've biked and swam for 17 days.
Yeah, you've got to be a crazy person.
I agree. I know. The one day we did the thing with Tracy and Craig and you and Boomer sat there and ate donuts
we watched you guys.
I will tell you, while I embarrassed myself in the water with the swim, and that was bad, and while I embarrassed myself coming in second to last, should have been third to last, except for the fact that Craig asked me to pause for a second so he could run ahead of me and beat me. Finishing the bike ride, it was a 12-mile bike ride, I think. Doing that with no problem, mostly because it was flatlands, there was no hills, and getting through the three-and-a-half-mile run was quite accomplishing. I felt great.
Oh, no, when you're done with it, it's got to feel awesome.
But I didn't train for it.
Yeah, that training for it is crazy.
It's hard.
Yeah.
That's why I finished second to last.
So congratulations to Cisse Lema, Jerry, of Ethiopia.
So that didn't motivate you to start running?
No.
No.
Okay. It did not.
Get a tattoo?
But good for you. No. I would get, because when people accomplish the Iron Man,
yeah,
they do get the Iron Man tattoo.
I would. I know what I would too.
I would as well.
That's like you're a Marine. You get the Marine tattoo.
Correct.
You finish that competition, I'm with you.
If I was in the Navy, I'd also get the.
Yeah, my uncle has one.
What is that? The anchor.
The anchor.
Yeah, oh, I definitely get that.
My uncle. I don't feel like everybody has an Uncle John.
Yeah,
but my Uncle John has that too. It's a great reminder every time I see him that he was in the
Navy. I bet it's all faded, right?
Yeah,
those old school Navy tattoos.
And I love the fact that my father is now wearing his Vietnam hat very proudly.
Yeah,
the last 5 years he's been wearing that. I think it's great.
Me too.
Recognition.
Yeah, because if I see a guy in a Vietnam hat, I'm more respectful.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I'm not. If it was an old person moving slow, I'd be like, what are we doing?
I
see a Vietnam hat.
You slow down.
Take your time.
And you respect that man.
I sure do, Jerry.
Air Force, Marines, Navy, whatever. Army. National Guard, too, by the way. All right, quick break. When we come back, we get you to Boomer and Geo. It is, what is today, Wednesday?
Today's Tuesday, Jerry.
Tuesday on The Fan. Right now on Odyssey Sports Minute, Amy Lawrence, brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official site lottery games on your phone. Talking about the topic of the day, John Sterling.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
All right, we got about a minute or so to go. We got Boomer and Geo standing by. What else, Al?
Jerry, you know Gordon Ramsay, the guy from Hell's Kitchen and all that stuff. So I guess he's got a pub in London.
Probably.
That's been vacant for a little while, closed for renovations. Squatters live there now.
In London?
In London.
They're doing that there, too?
They're doing it in London, Jerry.
I don't understand. Can we change the laws?
They're just squatting in London. They squatted in the pub, and now they live there.
Dude, I don't understand. Like, there are certain things. I know there's a process to change laws.
Yeah.
You can't have people that own homes
get
home from vacation to find out that other people are in their house, and you can't evict them.
Yeah, this is my house.
Get
now.
Out.
Well, I guess they do have to live there 30 days. So you just got to make sure. You just got to check in on your house every 30 days.
Oh, my God. It's awful.
Squatters there. You got to kick them out, Jerry.
I don't understand. Yeah. I really don't.
It's very bizarre.
You should run for president. Change the laws.
The squatter laws.
Yeah.
If I was just running on that,
I could
probably win.
Mayor of New York City, Al Dukes.
That seems like a little much for me, Jerry. I'd have to take control of the subways. I would have no idea.
You have to come into New York City every day during the day.
I got nervous this morning. I parked my car, and I'm walking up, and I hear a commotion in front of the building. It's Eddie with some heroined-out 20-something-year-old dude.
Eddie, I love you, but you will talk to a plant. You're too nice.
Yeah, he was just hanging out with a heroin guy.
Well, this is Eddie when he runs down every hour. What can I tell
and
you?
It didn't seem dangerous.
WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1. New York. Always live on the free Odyssey app.